Yeah, Vargas Falchuk with Jean Clark coming look skill and shock on the show to me, Tom Comick. With you as always until 9 o'clock. Thanks to Paul McDevitt for the last hour and a half. And well, hope you can stay with us for the next half hour, because we've got some interesting people to meet coming up in tonight's programme. We'll be joined by Donegal Referees Administrator Pat Walsh on his recruitment campaign to, well, entice more young people into refereeing. And, well, we'll talk to Pat a little bit later on. But first of all, before that, you were probably expecting us to be coming live tonight from McCool Park in Ballybuffet, where Donegal were due to play Fermanagh in the Dr. McKenna Cup. That game obviously cancelled or postponed earlier today, as was Tyrone and Antrim, which was due to be played at Healy Park tonight, and indeed Cavan and Monaghan in the Kingspan Breffni Park. Those three games, casualties of the weather, and they are refixed for next Sunday. But there are two games underway tonight in the Dr. McKenna Cup. It's Down versus UUJ Jordanstown. That's in Uri, and Armagh are hosting St. Mary's College of Belfast in the athletic grounds in Armagh. It's 4-1 to St. Mary's, just about 25 minutes gone there. And, well, Conor Laverty has scored a nearly goal for Down. We haven't got enough further update on that one. Keelan Mooney responded with a point for Jordanstown, but obviously early stages in that game, coming up to half time in those game, and it's now the sides are level. Actually, it's St. Mary's 7 points, Armagh a goal and 4 points. That's a half time score coming through from the athletic grounds. But well, our first port of call tonight is to talk to the chairperson of the Donegal Health and Wellbeing Committee, Marion McNulty. We spoke to Marion early last year, of course, when the Health and Wellbeing Committee was set up, and well, we've speaking to her again tonight on how they're progressing, and indeed on the GAA's new national off the booze and on the ball campaign. I spoke to Marion some time ago. Well, Marion, delighted you could join us, and first of all, congratulations, and I hope you have the hatches batched down and the logs on the fire, and a happy new year to you.
Thanks very much, Tom.
Yeah. Well, we're on to talk about, of course, you in your capacity as chairperson of the Donegal Health and Wellbeing Committee. And we'll talk about your role in that at the moment. But first of all, I want to talk to you about this annual Off the Booze, On the Ball campaign, which the GAA are promoting. And I know it's nothing new, but they're promoting it again this year. Can you maybe tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, it's something that the GAA have been running, I suppose, for about the last 3 or 4 years. And they encourage counties to get as many clubs as possible involved. It's something that clubs are probably doing, many of them anyway, because when players are thinking about getting back training, they are kind of aware. But I think what GAA and Croke Park, they want to do it more in an organised way, to maybe to say it, to put it out there that, you know, the club are taking the challenge, and that they, sometimes they might use it as a fundraiser. They might, you know, have raise money, or they might have do some kind of promotion around it, or get people to take part in some kind of activities. So they kind of they like that, but it is just about promoting healthier lifestyles, and it's about the benefits of not drinking, and I suppose it's also about saying how harmful the drink is. To be, you know, when you're playing, about how, you know, people are more easily injured and they recover less quickly, and all those kind of things. So they'll be promoting the negative aspects of alcohol and the football, and then of course the negative aspects of alcohol and just their day to day life and the impact it might have on their work outside and on their studies and all those kind of things.
Yeah, and I was surprised to hear County Chairman Sean Dunyan say on Monday night at the County Board meeting that only two Donegal clubs had signed up for it. I thought everybody gave up the booze after Christmas.
Yeah, and fair play to the two clubs that did sign up for it. You know, it is great. I think if clubs
What were they?
I don't know. I don't know. They registered directly with Croke Park.
Yeah. So and I was surprised to read on the Croke Park website as well, you know, information about the Off the Booze, On the Ball campaign, that they're only, well, they're looking at a minimum of two clubs per county.
So that's right.
You know, I found that a bit strange.
Yeah, I suppose they don't want to put the bar too high, but ideally in Donegal, we would love the 40 clubs to be doing it. Now, my own club, Milford, we took the challenge last year, and it was definitely pushing an open door. They were delighted, and they took it, and they, you know, they were very... We didn't do any fundraising around it, but certainly I think it made it easier for people who were thinking of going off the drink, the fact that everybody was off the drink, and the fact that they could say that they were taking the challenge. It made it easier for them that they weren't being sort of forced or anything to drink whenever they were out. You know, they had a reason not to be drinking. So that's, I suppose, the benefit of going off it as a group and a collective. It's good that they can say, no, I'm taking the challenge and that. And then, of course, then they could, you know, hopefully go back it. And they would find a big benefit in the training, but just in their everyday life, I suppose they would feel the benefit from it as well.
And Milford, as an example, I suppose the proof of the pudding was in the eating afterwards. Had a reasonably good year.
They had, that's right.
Yeah. And tell me, why do you think other clubs haven't signed up to it? Is it maybe lack of knowledge of it, information on it? Maybe?
And maybe we could do more, I suppose, as a committee. We probably could do more in sort of maybe approaching clubs. We've made our new health and wellbeing committee this year is a bit bigger. So hopefully we'll be able to reach out to more to clubs. And I think if we were to sort of maybe, you know, personalise it and go to club chair people or secretaries or whatever and just ask them, I think the response would be bigger. I think because, you know, the notification came out from Crow Park and it was sent around just to the clubs. And you know how there's a lot of information coming into clubs and they might not notice it, or it mightn't be kind of high up on their radar if it comes in at a time when they're competing, or if there's some other more important, in their view, things coming into the club.
And maybe a transition in club officers as well.
That's true. That's the time of year that we have a change in officers often as well. So that could be a factor. But I think it's something, I suppose, we as a committee will definitely be more mindful of, and I think we'll probably approach clubs and ask clubs, because I think there would be a good response if we did approach clubs.
And as you say, they can use the fundraiser or whatever.
Well, one of the targets for the new committee this year now is we want to get all clubs in the county. There's not that many clubs in the county have health and wellbeing officers, and it's a requirement that every club has a health and wellbeing officer. So if every club has a health and wellbeing officer, they would be the people in the club that would ensure that the clubs took up the mantle.
Yeah, and so, before we move on to the overall remit of health and wellbeing and your role as chairperson and your new committee, how long does this run? Is it open-ended, or is there a certain time period?
For the off the booze?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a month usually.
And hope to stay longer.
Hopefully longer, But it's great to have that month anyway, just to get people, you know, to feel better and to feel the benefits of it, and then you would hope then that they might continue, or that they would continue to drink maybe in a more responsible way, you know, that they wouldn't binge and that they might just be more measured in their drinking.
Anyway, moving on to you, the overall role of the County Health and Wellbeing Committee, and you're the chairperson. It's relatively new, isn't it, health and wellbeing? I think it only formed, was it last year?
That's right, Tom. Yeah, we were just established in February of last year, and we had a meeting in Crow Park then in March, and we're just getting off the ground, really. It's a very new thing in Donegal. Well, it's a new thing nationally. We've managed to achieve a fair wee bit in during the last year, in that we had nationally there was a collaboration with the Samaritans, and we also then had the road safety, the Live to Play, that the county, that we promoted, you know, particularly around big Donegal games when a lot of people were travelling. You know, Ryan McHugh was the ambassador for the Live to Play program last year. And then we help clubs with responding to crisis or critical incidents. And then, of course, I suppose, and the Safe Talk. We had Safe Talk sessions rolled out. The HSE, funded by the National Office of Suicide Prevention, are helping us with providing Safe Talk training to every club in the county. And about six clubs, and there's a further three or four, have ordered now for January.
Yeah, I think there was actually one in Dunloe on Monday night.
There was, that's right, yes, I heard that.
Yeah. And you have a new committee. It was announced you have a number of people from last year's committee, but you have, as you mentioned yourself, and I heard it announced by Sean Dunyan on Monday night, quite a lot of new people coming in. And the one thing that struck me, the number of young people that's involved.
Yeah, they're all younger than me, but it wouldn't be hard to be younger than me, but they are, and they're all professionals. Yeah. Which is great. We have Noreen and Sean from last year, and we have Gary Duffy and Dolores McQueenie and Oisin Cannon from last year, and they've worked really well and have been really great to work with from my point of view. And then we have four new people, and there is a possibility that we may have one or two more new people joining us. But we haven't had time to just
let listeners know who those new people are.
The James Pat McDade,
Who
was the captain of Glenswilly the time they won, was it the first time they won the championship?
Yeah.
And he's in the backroom team with the Glenswilly management this year. And it's great, no more than himself and Gary Duffy and Oisin Cannon, who are working with players all the time, who are able to connect with players and have a fair sense of the issues that players face on a day-to-day basis. And then we have people in, like Sean Riley now, who works with the CBT, with the HSE, and he's a cognitive behaviour therapist. It's a type of counselling, but he also works as a physical therapist. And he's a former player himself and has been involved with Donegal GAA down through the years. He's part of the committee. And then we have Sarah Toy McLaughlin. She's Sarah McLaughlin now. Now Sean Riley's with St. Junan's and James Pat's Glenswilly. And Sarah Toy is Convoy. And she's Sean Riley's also a mental health nurse, a registered mental health nurse, and Sarah Toy is also a registered mental health nurse. But she's on a new project at the minute. She's a suicide prevention nurse. She's working on a project with GPs around the county. And she also did the Diploma in Drug and Alcohol Studies in 2009 that I did, and that's how I met her. So, and I think she'll be a great addition as well as Sean and James Pat to the committee. And then we have Carol Gallagher. She's now Carol McCann, and she works. She's a clinical nurse specialist with the Drug and Alcohol Services, the HSE Drug and Alcohol Services in Donegal, and she is an Eve Connell woman. And I met her actually on the same course as I met Sarah Toy on, and they're delighted to be involved, and we're delighted as a committee to have them. So we wanted to strengthen the mental health aspect of it and the drug and alcohol aspect of it so that we could have more people to respond to clubs. And because we're wanting clubs now to look again at their drug and alcohol policy, and we're also putting a county drug and alcohol policy in place, that felt that we needed more skills in that area. So that's it. And there's also a few people that we have in mind from the diet and nutrition end of things, so that we can help clubs with and players with diet and nutrition and about, you know, sensible eating, and that would bring the alcohol bit would come into that as well.
Yeah, because I think when we think of health and well-being, we probably think of obviously, welfare of players and welfare of officials and mostly of young people. But we also maybe think of depression as well, and maybe abuse and one thing or another. But yours as well as being a counsellor and available for those people, you're also educational in the sense that you have a couple of headings which your role is to educate.
Yeah, well, I work as a counsellor, but I do some education work as well, but not a lot. My main work is really to respond to the needs of the students in LYIT.
Yeah.
And that.
But the role of a health and wellbeing committee, isn't it? Is it? You know.
Well, the role of the health and wellbeing committee is definitely to educate, and we would be doing a lot of that, and we hope to be going out to clubs and helping clubs maybe. You know, if clubs would invite us to a meeting or to their an executive meeting where we could meet the committee or whatever, you know, that we could sort of fill them in on what it is that we're doing and, do a lot of, there would be a lot of education that goes, that happens, as well as responding. In fact, the education would probably be the biggest bit of it.
Yeah.
But the responding aspect is there as well.
Yeah. And what are the issues that are cropping up with young people nowadays?
I suppose, like low mood, low self-esteem, just people not fitting in, feeling that they don't fit in, you know, there's a lot of pressure on young people now, and they put a lot of pressure on themselves, I suppose, to look and feel and think in a particular way, you know, guided by the media and things like that. And sometimes then if they feel that they're not up there, you know, they can be quite... Sometimes there's lots of family issues that can, you know, leave young people sort of isolated, and maybe they don't have the support at home. And that's the benefit, Jigsaw, or they would say, there was a research done one time and they talked about one good adult. You know, that sometimes if people don't have the support at home, you know, the coach, the football coach can be a key person in a young person's life. And if they meet up with somebody who can be a positive in their life in terms of their football, you know, that can be a real good support for them, for the person. You know, and you will see it sometimes in CVs that the person that they might put down as a referee might be their under 10 or under 12 under 14 coach, you know. It might be somebody that they've stayed in contact with. So coaches, we would be working a lot with coaches, you know, to help coaches to know the important role that they fulfil.
And to identify problems.
Yeah, that they can identify problems, but to know that they're a great source of support, and how they behave towards players can determine whether players stay with them or not. You know, that sometimes if players are having a difficult time at home, you know, they look for somebody who can be supportive then outside. So it's important for coaches to be mindful that it isn't sometimes just always the football that should be on the agenda, but it's just kind of taking a holistic view, an overall view of the young person that they're that they have out there kicking the ball.
And those issues that you mentioned that are a concern to young people, how big a problem are they, or are they just, you know, in terms of scale, how would you rate it? Is there a problem, or are they isolated enough?
I don't think it's a big problem. I think people can get low in themselves quite quickly, but I think it's, you know, just by meeting one good person or somebody telling them, giving them a wee bit of praise, it can really bring them back out of themselves very quickly, and they can bounce back. And you know, if they're, you know, that's the benefit of sport, because of the collective. They're playing together, they learn to celebrate together, and they learn to take bad news together. And then, of course, they've got their people, then their role models in terms of the coaches that they can look up to. And, you know, that's the benefit of sport for young people. And it's very strong in the GAA. You know, they'll be very mindful of that. And we would be working with coaches, you know, to make sure that they know that they have this great role, you know, that they do perform an important function in the young person's lives.
And in terms of, you mentioned earlier as well that the uptake from that there are clubs that don't have health and wellbeing officers, which is required now by law. Are there many in the county?
There are some clubs that don't have a health and wellbeing officer. There's officer training coming up now on the 4th of February in Jackson's. It's provided by the Ulster Council. And we want every club to have at least one health and wellbeing officer present at that. And for some clubs, if they want to nominate two people, that's fine as well. For big clubs, you know, that would have a ladies board and a minor board and a senior board, you know, that's fine. And in fact, what we would advocate is that they might have one key person, and then they might have form a wee committee then of their own then. Because that's where the things like off the booze and on the ball, once it they would be the people that would be leading out on that then within the club.
Yeah.
And they would be linking in with us as the county committee, and we would be keeping them informed about the various things that are coming. And of course they can keep us involved and informed about the issues and problems that clubs are presented with in young people, and indeed older members of the club might be presented with as well.
And to club people who are listening tonight, in terms especially those maybe that clubs that don't have health and wellbeing officers, what's your message to them?
It's really crucial that every club promotes. Now, there was a role description sent out, and I think I'll get it sent out again to all the clubs, because people, it's a daunting kind of prospect for some people to take on the role. But there's lots of support. and lots of training for the people. And this training now on the 4th of February, we want all clubs to have their health and wellbeing officer there for because that'll be their first dip in the water about, you know, about the training, about what the role entails.
Yeah.
And then there's going to be training in Crow Park on the 21st of March then, where all of the county committees and as all of the club officers that are willing to go will go as well. And that's really, it's an annual thing and it's really good. So there's loads of opportunity for them to learn.
Yeah.
And the requirement, I suppose, for the main requirement is that they're involved with the club, that they're interested in their football, that they have good communication skills, and maybe somebody that's coming from maybe the role of maybe nursing or that kind of,
background.
Background would be
yeah.
really...
It's not a position you can just... pick somebody at an AGM and say, right, okay, you'll take on that. You know,
there
has to be more thought put to it.
That's right. And this person will be part of the executive. That's changed now, that they're going to be part of the executive within the club, and they would be reporting to the club about, you know, so the executive would get the benefit of learning what's happening countywide and nationally from the club health and wellbeing officer. So that would be keeping everybody abreast of what's happening.
And finally, Marion, because the clock is catching up on us here, but in terms of say, any young person out there, young player, young fella, young girl or whatever, or maybe not so young, who is feeling the need some help, some advice, who can they contact?
Well, they can contact anybody on the committee, or they can contact myself. I can give you my number now.
Yeah, well, your number is available on the Donegal GAA website, I think, anyway, isn't
it? That's right, it is. Yeah, it's just generally it's just the chair's number that's up on the various websites.
Yeah.
But and once we have the health and wellbeing officers in the club, that's going to be a point of contact for them as well.
But the key thing is that there is support out there for people who find themselves in difficulties.
Yeah, a big part of our job, apart from responding ourselves, is signposting people to the various other services that are out there. And there are many good, very good support services out there for people, and for people not to feel that they're on their own, and that you know there is always help available. Yeah.
Brilliant, Marion. And finally, just before you go, just remind us again of when are those dates of that officers' meeting in Ballybuffet.
It's the 4th of February. It's the club officer training. There'll be officer training for other roles within the clubs as well. But the health and wellbeing officer role, we're focusing from our point of view on it. But there will be other officers training on as well. It's on the 4th of February at 7 o'clock in Jackson's Hotel in Ballybuffet.
And the message to those clubs that haven't got a health and wellbeing officer, get the skates on.
Yes, if they could, it would be great. And then we can put all the other things. But once we have the officer in place, there's lots of other things. And for clubs people who think they might be able to do the job, to not be daunted by it, that there's loads of support available, and we'll definitely help them along the way.
Look, Marion, as always, delighted to talk to you, and keep up the good work, and obviously you're carrying out a very important role.
Thanks very much, Tom. Thank you.
Marion McNulty there, the chairperson of the Donegal Health and Wellbeing, and outlining talking obviously about that campaign of off the booze and on the ball initially, and then obviously talking about work carried out and the role of the Donegal Health and Wellbeing Committee. And indeed, again, I must repeat, any of you clubs out there that haven't got it, you've been very haven't got a health and wellbeing officer, you've been very irresponsible, and I think you should certainly make sure and address particularly main officers and clubs. They should see that the proper person is appointed to that role. Very well done, Marion, very professional lady. This should be a great new prospect for Donegal GAA and player welfare, especially Neil Gallagher. So somebody getting on there, Neil Gallagher. I'm not sure if that's the Neil Gallagher, but it may very well be. But Marion and her new committee doing particularly well. And if you were expecting us to be coming live from McCool Park and Ballybuffet tonight, just to remind you again, I'm sure you know already that Donegal Fermanagh in the Dr. McKenna Cup, which was due to be played in Ballybuffet tonight, is one of the casualties of the weather today. Tyrone and Antrim in Healy Park was another, and Cavan and Monaghan in Kingspan Breffni Park. Those games have been refixed for this Sunday. Donegal and Fermanagh will now go ahead in Father Tierney Park in Ballyshannon, a 2 o'clock throw-in for that one. Tyrone and Antrim is in Healy Park, also at 2 o'clock, and Cavan and Monaghan is in Kingspan Breffni Park. There are two games on in the Dr. McKenna Cup tonight, and we're into the second half, but I can tell you that it was down 1-5 UUJ Jordanstown, 3 points at half time. Connor Laverty scoring the goal for Down in that particular game. And St Mary's College of Belfast were, well, maybe causing something of an upset. I'm sure there was probably a wind in the athletic grounds, because they were leading not 11 to 1-5 against Armagh at half time. There is into the second half of those games. We'll give you updates before we go off here. But, well, from health and wellbeing and the Off the Booze and On the Ball campaign, we're now joined by the Donegal referees administrator, Pat Walsh, who has been re-elected for the fifth year, and this is going to be his final year. And Pat is going to tell us about Put Your Whistle Where Your Mouth Is. Pat, first of all, good night to you, and congratulations on your reappointment.
Good day to you, Tom, and how are you? Thank you very much.
And I suppose Put Your Whistle Where Your Mouth is self-explanatory. You're looking for referees and new referees.
Yeah, Tom, and just the post has just come down there after Christmas from Croke Park. It's something Croke Park is lobbying now for new referees, and in particular they're looking for ex-county players. And no doubt, as you know, we have a couple of them. We have Martin Call and we have Niall McCready. And, you know, they're fairly doing fairly well, as you know, with Martin done the county final this year.
Yeah. And tell me, how obviously this is the national campaign and you're coordinating the Donegal recruitment end, and you have been pretty successful so far. As you mentioned, there's two men that have come through in recent years. There's many more. But how are you going to go about it, and who is your target, as you said? Obviously county players, but not solely county players, I'm sure.
No, it's not only county players. It's, you know, any lad that wants to... The feels that he can get into it, and I'll take anybody on. It'll be a female, because, as you know, we have two females. We have Siobhan and Kira, and they're doing pretty well for themselves.
Siobhan Coyle and Kira Foy.
And Kira Foy, and they're doing fairly well. They're no bother to them at all. And, like, I welcome female. I think it was one of the first, maybe, would have took on females in Ireland, you know, at the senior men's.
Always a woman's man, Pat.
Always a woman's man, Tom. I always just notice for it.
But anyway, and in terms of you know, obviously you've got quite a good response in recent years, didn't you?
Yeah.
Because you quite a lot of young. You mentioned the two ladies there, Roisin and Kira. But you've got quite a lot of new people coming through. You mentioned Martin Call, and you mentioned Niall McCready. But there's quite a lot of young people coming through.
In about 4 years, Tom, I roughly have. At adult level now, in 4 years, new referees out of 40, over 40 of them, and I'm carrying 65 at the moment, acting referees now. That'll be acting referees, the lads that does something every week for me, you know.
Yeah, and in terms of how difficult is it? Because I remember here speaking years ago to Frankie Doherty and to others who held the job before you, and it was a real chore to get people to referee.
Well, they asked me that question in Croke Park. You know, they asked all ministers, how do you go about it? And the answer I gave them was, I just man hunt them. You know, I just ring up lads that might show a wee bit interest. And if they show me a wee bit interest at all, I'll ring them back in a couple of weeks and tell them I'm having a course or whatever. And, you know, that's the way it works, Tom. But you keep barging away at the clubs. And, you know, you don't want to annoy the clubs. I prefer to the clubs. In the last 4 years I was in the job, that backed me to 100%, and you seen that the other night at the county committee meeting.
Yeah, unfortunately, Pat, the clock is coming against us. We overran there, I think, with Marion McNulty on health and wellbeing. Obviously, a very important topic. We may come back to yours at some stage. But in terms of somebody out there, some club or some young man or woman who wants to take up refereeing, how do they go about it? Who do they contact?
They just contact me. You seen me giving out posters the other night of the think you can do better, or put your whistle where your mouth is. That's the posters that I'm putting out, and as referees administrator, Pat Walsh at 087-914-2748 or patjwalsh@hotmail.com.
Look, Pat, as I said, the music in the background tells you it's all over. My thanks to Pat Walsh, the Donegal referees administrator, to Marion McNulty, to
Paul McDevitt on sound from me, Tom Cormack, on next week's Lonergan Bannock.